Awesome. Well, welcome. You survived the ice storm. That's good, right? And hopefully you made it here in one piece. I was unbelievably surprised when I walked out of our first service today and almost fell right on my back. It's just a beautiful beginning to 2014, right? This is a really warm welcome to 2014 and everything that it has to offer. And we've been slammed. I hope that you survived the weather well, and hopefully you got to be able to enjoy it a little bit. My family got sick, and so my boys really didn't get a chance to be able to enjoy the snow the way that we had hoped to. Caden got to a little bit yesterday, but we're hoping for some fresh snow so that we can get out there and actually enjoy it as opposed to just being annoyed by it. As we head into this year, we've got all sorts of really exciting things happening, and we haven't been together now for 2 weeks. On Sunday, we got together for our Christmas Eve service in between there, but I want to fill you in on a little bit of what's been happening inside of our family over the past couple of weeks and just some things that we're really celebrating. As we went into the break, we've been talking about for the past few months, for those of you who weren't with us, the fact that our dinner groups are going to be taking a break, and then we're going to be launching our 2014 dinner groups beginning today. And over the break, one of the things that we decided to try is that we were going to open up the online signups and see how many people would actually sign up online before we even got to our first Sunday service in 2014. And to be honest with you, I really had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know how willing people would be to be able to sign up before they ever got to a Sunday and before we had the opportunity to be able to introduce them to our leaders and things like that. And so we kind of went into it just praying for God to be able to move in people's hearts and get people connected. And I want to let you know that over the past few days, since December 26th, we have had over 225 people sign up for a dinner group. Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you what, I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. And by some mistake, I kept getting all of the emails of when people signed up, and it was just like boom, boom, boom. And at first I was annoyed, and I was like, Chris, what is wrong with you? Why are you annoyed? People are getting plugged into dinner groups. Like, this is an opportunity to be able to celebrate every time one of these emails hits. And so I've been celebrating like crazy, 225 times over the past few days here as we walk into this year. And as we get to the end of the service, I'm going to talk about how you can be part of that as well if you haven't gotten plugged into one of those groups. And not only are we celebrating that, we're celebrating a lot of things that are happening online. We're going to talk through that here in a little bit as well. And then as the intro video stated, we're also, as we walk into this year, beginning this new conversation called Timelines. And Timelines is not a standalone series. It's actually a series that's been built based upon where we believe God is taking us as a family inside of 2014. And for those of you who've been with us, you know that as we enter into this year, we enter into this year with this mission, not just the mission of helping people find their way back to God, but within that, this mission of mobilizing people into the community. And we're looking to, in 2014, to mobilize more people into our cities, loving and showing the love of Christ than we have ever done in the past. And so as we walked into this year and as we prepared for this year and we looked at, okay, what are we going to talk through for those who are part of kind of working through, okay, what is it that God wants to communicate to our church family and what should that look like and how do the scriptures communicate that to all of us about who God is and how we relate to God? We went away and we came out with this understanding or this plan for how we're going to walk through this year on Sunday mornings and the conversations that we're going to have. At the beginning of that, we planned this conversation called Timelines, because we believe that if we were going to love our cities in the way that we plan to love our cities, in the way that we hope to love our cities, in the way that we're praying for God to use us to love our cities, then we needed to understand from the very beginning how our story fits into the larger story. And I think for most of us, we understand this general idea that our story is part of a larger story. We understand that there are those who've come before us. We understand that one day we're going to end and the story is going to continue. We understand that there's going to come a point where we die. And so we understand that we're a part of this larger story. But we don't think about it very often, and truth be told, for most of us, we don't really live our lives in light of that. For most of us, I think we live our lives really for our story. We live our lives for how we can best tell our story. And the significance and the glory and the glamour of our story. I know in my own life, I struggle with this all the time. As a matter of fact, what we're going to be talking through today is something that God calls me back to over and over and over again. I live with this struggle of living for the significance of my story and believing that in some way, shape, or form, that my story in and of itself can be unbelievably significant, that it's going to stand out above and beyond the other stories. Even as a pastor, I struggle with this as we grow and as we see more and more people come to know who Christ is and locations and everything that goes along with that. There's something that happens with success where you can begin to believe that your story in and of itself is significant. I think it's something that we all struggle with in some way, shape, or form. This idea of living for our story. And we'll allow other people to be part of our story as long as they're contributing to that story. And so as long as you're helping that story proceed as I think that it should or as I planned for it to, then I will allow you to be part of my story. But if you begin to screw it up, I will screw you up. And I want nothing to do with you. We live for our stories. But then there come those moments in which we realize that it's not actually true, this idea that my story could be by itself significant. Those moments, and sometimes they're just moments, sometimes they last longer, but those moments when, and oftentimes they're actually moments that follow incredible accomplishments. And we're living for these accomplishments. We're living for these achievements. We're living for that promotion. We're living for that income level. We're living for, and we believe, man, if I can just get there, if I can just do this, then my story in and of itself will be significant. Then I will have done something amazing. But then we get there and we look around and we realize, wait a second. It wasn't true. A couple days ago, I was reading an interview with a quarterback named Aaron Rodgers, and some of you may know who Aaron Rodgers is. He's actually going to be playing this afternoon at 1:00. Just a really interesting side note to this. If you want to see something really, really cool, this afternoon, Aaron Rodgers is going to play in what is probably going to be the coldest football game that has ever been played. Right now, the forecast is calling for negative 21 degrees. Can you believe that? That's going to be fun to watch, just to see people's arms just crack and break off. Like, just like people will just be falling apart on the field. You can't be out in that. The wind chill is supposed to be negative 51. That's amazing. I got a T-vote. I could care less who wins the game. I just want to see people freeze to death, like just in mid-stride. Just, oh, there it is. Like, it's just frozen. I was talking to Justin Michael, one of the guys on the speaking team, about this because he used to live in Green Bay, and he was laughing because the Packers are sending out all of these emails and saying, you know, hey, for everyone who comes to the game, we've got free coffee, free hot chocolate. But he's actually been to one of the coldest games in Lambeau Field inside of Green Bay, and he said he went to the game, and they had said the same thing then, but everything freezes. It doesn't matter. Like, all drink dispensers freeze. Nothing exists in that kind of weather. And so he's like, they say this, but it doesn't matter how much you try, the coffee is just going to freeze. And even if you put it in the cup, within a few seconds, it's just going to freeze. I can't wait to see it. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. Aaron Rodgers is this unbelievably successful quarterback. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, he won the Super Bowl. And inside that, he was actually the MVP of that Super Bowl. It's literally the highest accomplishment that he could ever possibly hope to accomplish inside of his career. And it's interesting because as they're preparing for this playoffs, they were interviewing him about what he's doing with his life and how he's living his life. And he told the story of after he won the Super Bowl. He said, it was amazing. We won the Super Bowl and everyone was partying and it was incredible. And I just remember a couple hours afterwards sitting on the bus and sitting there just for a moment by myself. And in that moment, I sat there and I realized that I just accomplished everything that I lived my entire life to accomplish. I realized that the story that I told was the story I'd always hoped that I'd tell. So I sat there and it just felt empty. He said, I said to myself, is this all there is? And in the interview, he's talking about all the different things that he's doing for people who live in the Congo and the way that he's fighting for people. And he said, I've answered the question that no, it's not. And the entire article is about someone who lived to tell their own story. And when they had told it as best as they possibly could, they realized, wait a second, this sucks. If this is all there is, this sucks. And so he's begun to figure out how he can interweave his story into the lives of those around him and how in some way, shape, or form he can live his life in a way that's significant beyond just himself. And it's interesting because as you look at those who've achieved unbelievable success, you see this happening all the time. You look at the life of someone like Bill Gates, who built this unbelievable empire, and he gets to this point where he's literally on top of the world, and he realizes, is this it? And so I don't know if you've realized this, but he's just been spending years now, trying to in some way, shape, or form tell a different story, a story that's intertwined and interweaved with those stories that we live amongst. You see the same with Warren Buffett. You see the same with so many of those who've achieved unbelievable success because they get to that point. And even another quarterback, Tom Brady, said the very same thing about his Super Bowl. He says, you get there and it's just, you look at it and you realize a story lived on its own. No matter how covered in gold it is or no matter if it's made out of pure platinum, is worthless. And there's something inside of us, and I love this because I think that these are God moments. Those moments where all of a sudden you're sitting there and you've achieved this wonderful thing or your story's going exactly the way that you hoped it would, and you just get a few moments by yourself, and in those moments all of a sudden you realize, yeah, there's got to be more than this. And the scriptures tell us that the truth of who God is has actually been built into us. And I think that this is one of the ways in which that's happened. I think that this is one of those moments in which God is pursuing you. And for some of us, they're just moments. They just hit us for a second and we just push them aside and we continue to live for our story. But for others of us, we sit with them long enough for them to be meaningful and significant and powerful in our lives. And for us to be able to look at it and say, wait, maybe there's something to this. And I believe that in your life and my life, this is God moving in our lives to call us to something bigger. To help us to understand that your story is not something that exists on its own, but that your story is a part of this unbelievable tapestry that has been woven long before you were brought into it and will be woven after you. This unbelievable tapestry, this beautiful thing that is coming together with purpose and intention. And for some of us, we sit with it long enough for it to actually move us. For others of us, we just move past it, past us, and we continue to live for our story. I always know when I'm living for my story, when I begin to get really annoyed at the other people who are part of it. And so even as I'm talking about earlier with this idea of being a pastor, inside my life as a pastor, I always know when I'm headed down the wrong road or when this is beginning to be part of how I'm thinking and how I'm acting, because I'll begin to get really, really annoyed at you guys. I'll be like, what is wrong with these people? I could be a really good pastor if it wasn't for these people. And especially some of you in particular. I'll just be honest. It's just like, man, I could be a really good pastor if it wasn't for these people. And in those moments, I can catch myself and realize, and oftentimes I'll have conversations with husbands and wives, and you see this very same thing, and you can realize that they're living for their own story, because they'll literally say out loud, like, I could be a really great husband if it wasn't for my wife. If I just had a better husband, I could be a really good wife. For some of us, it's just a passing thing, and we continue to live for our story. For others of us, we sit with it long enough for it to be meaningful. Sometimes meaningful enough for us to change the way in which we live our lives and in which we tell our stories. And I think you see that in the lives of someone like Aaron Rodgers or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. But I think there's more to it than just that. Because I think there is something inside of our generation where we're trying to live stories that are intertwined well with the stories around us that are significant beyond just us. But I think it's more than just being significant in this moment. I think there's something to the story that's come before us as well. And that's something that inside of our generation, to be honest with you, has been largely lost. We don't look back and celebrate those who've come before us. We rarely ever look back and really value those who've paved the way to be where we are today, the story that has been told before us. But I think the beauty and significance of our story is not just found in how we fit with those who are currently alive today, but also those who've come before and will come after us. I was actually reading the other day to my son in one of my favorite books. There's two books that we read routinely, Caden and I, at our house. The first one is the Bible. The next one is called The Dangerous Book for Boys. It's awesome. It teaches you all sorts of really cool things that you wished your dad had taught you. And things that I love it because I just learned really cool things, like how to tie knots and all sorts of different kinds of fish. It's amazing. It really is. And he loves to be able to read through this. And the other day we were reading through it, and one of the things that it includes is extraordinary stories. And as we were reading through it, and as we began to read through the very first story, I read something that just brought me back to this very same conversation, and just an understanding of how unbelievably we've lost sight of, and I've lost sight of where this story is. I marked it for the first service, and then I forgot to mark it for this next service. But just how much we've lost sight of how we fit into a larger story. Listen to how it begins, this extraordinary story section. It says, stories of courage and determination are sometimes underrated for their ability to inspire. It is true that once famous names can slip from the memory of generations. Names like Charles George Gordon, Richard Francis Burton, Florence Nightingale, Robert Scott, Herbert Kitchener, Henry Morton Stanley, Rudyard Kipling, and a host of others. Their lives, their stories, were once known to every schoolboy and girl, held up as examples of fortitude and honor. These values have not ceased to be important in the modern world, nor have the stories become less moving. We have chosen five of our favorites. And in the book, they're trying to bring these stories back to life, to help these children to be able to understand that they are part of this unbelievable story that has gone on before them, and the lives that have contributed to this story. And I don't think this is just significant as far as how we live and just understanding that we're part of the story, but I think it's unbelievably significant spiritually. And as a matter of fact, I think sometimes the way that we've talked about this story inside of church has contributed to the fact that we're not looking for and examining whether or not our lives fit into the story. Because I think inside of the church, when we've talked about the story that we're a part of, one of the unbelievable mistakes that we've made is that we've told the story of the scriptures as a story that's an accident. And so when we've talked about what God has done and the story that God is telling, it's almost as if we've taught that, listen, God had this unbelievable story to tell, but then there was this terrible accident and it all went bad. God had this beautiful picture that he wanted to paint that you were going to be a part of, but then there was this accident and it all fell apart. And now God is trying in some way, shape, or form to put together the pieces so that the puzzle and the story can be beautiful again. That God is trying to in some way, shape, or form tell an alternate story. It's not as good as what the original story was supposed to be, but he's trying to tell an alternate story that in some way, shape, or form can compare to it. And I believe that that's a lie. And I believe that the writer of Ephesians is trying to help us see that. And I think there's unbelievable significance in understanding the truth. I want to take you to the book of Ephesians. And as a matter of fact, for the next couple of months, we're going to be spending our time in Ephesians and looking at how the writer of Ephesians is introducing us to this unbelievable story that we're a part of. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 4. And as the writer of Ephesians is trying to help us understand this story, he says this. He says, I want you to understand something. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. For many of us, when we look at the story in which we find ourselves, we believe that we're in the midst of an accident. But the writer of Ephesians comes to us and says, listen, I want you to understand something. This is not an accident. I want you to understand something. Even before he made the world, God decided he was going to do this. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him good pleasure. You do not live in the midst of a story that's an accident. You do not live in the midst of a story that was broken and God is now trying in some way, shape, or form to fix it. You live in the midst of a story in which God decided from the very beginning that he was going to plan a family. That he was going to bring together an unbelievable family that would experience everything of who he is and would love one another the way that he loves us, that would experience all of his glory and all of his power and all of his love and all of his grace, that would be able to take that and demonstrate that to one another. God decided in advance, before he ever wrote one word of this story, that this is how he was going to do it, that he was planning this family. And make no mistake about it, he counted the cost. And the writer of Ephesians wants for you to understand that. He wants for you to realize that he counted the cost. Just go back to that passage in Ephesians and leave that up there. He counted the cost. He knew that it was going to take Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand the pain that God goes through on a daily basis as this story is told, you may begin to believe that you experience more pain than he does, and all sorts of lies are wrapped up in that. But from the very beginning, he knew what it was going to cost. He knew that we were going to walk away from him. He knew the twists and the turns, and he decided to choose you. He decided to choose you. You do not find yourself in the midst of a story that's an accident. And I think for many of us, we believe that we do. And when you believe that you find yourself in the midst of a story that's an accident, you know what happens? You stop trusting the storyteller. Because he really doesn't know what's going to happen next. And so the writer of Ephesians comes to us and says, No. You need to understand this. He knew you were going to walk away from him. He knew that you would want nothing to do with him. He knew what it was going to take for him to bring you back to him. He knew what the family would cost. He knew the blood that would have to be shed by his son. He counted the cost. And he chose you. The story that you find yourself is not an accident. It's a story that has been intentionally told from the very beginning. And if you begin to believe that you find yourself in a story that's an accident, you won't trust him. You won't trust him that he knows what's coming next. You won't trust him to be able to lead you forward. And for some of you, you've struggled so much with trusting. And the reason is because at the core of who you are, you still believe that's an accident. It's not. The other thing that happens when you begin to believe that you're in the midst of a story that's an accident is that you begin to believe that you're an accident as well. And for many of us, I think that we think that we're in the midst of this accidental story that seems to be spinning out of control, and we don't necessarily know if the storyteller really has any ability to control what's coming next. And so we look at ourselves, and we almost look at ourselves as byproducts of the accident. See, when you find yourself in the midst of a story that's an accident, you have no role. You have no responsibility. You have no significance. But the writer of Ephesians says, no. Even before the first word was written, even before the story ever began, he chose you. He knew the twists. He knew the turns. He knew what it would cost. And he chose you. He chose to tell this story because he chose you. And inside of this story, you are not an accident. You are not a byproduct. You are not an extra. You are an intentionally planned, crucial part of the story that he has been telling for generations. From the moment that he began this, he knew about you. And he did not accidentally bring you into this moment and this time. He intentionally brought you into this moment and this time to be part of this story. A story that is strategic and calculated. And when you understand that, your confidence in the storyteller will explode. Because he has not made a mistake. The story was not hijacked. He knew the story. He knew the battle that would rage for your heart. And he chose to fight. And your story, your strand, was intentionally created to be part of this story. I love what the book of Acts says about David. It says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed." Go ahead and bring that slide up. It's right near the end, guys. It says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed." David understood that his story was not significant on its own. And David lived an unbelievable story. But he understood that his story was not significant on his own, but that his story found its significance in the tapestry into which God had weaved it. And so as he looked at the life that God had called him to live, this unbelievable king in the history of the nation of Israel, as he looked at the life that God had called him to live, he lived his life to live that strand as best as he possibly could. And as we go into this next year, we have a choice. We can live for the significance and the glory of our individual strand. Or we can go to the storyteller. And we can ask him, where do I fit? And how can I live that as best as possible? How can I do my part in painting this picture? How can I do my part in the beautiful story that you're weaving? And the truth is that today's just an introduction to this idea. As we walk through the next few weeks, we're going to be laying this out and looking at how God has told this story around us and the specific phase in which we find ourselves in this story. And as we move through this entire year, this whole year is about finding that place in the story. And we believe that you have been uniquely gifted, that you have unbelievable gifts and talents that God has given you as a part of this family at this time in this place for an unbelievable reason to be able to live out that part in this story. And for some of you, you're here today and you're wrestling through whether or not you can even trust God, whether or not he's even real. And you've experienced those moments, those God moments where you realize that there has to be something more than this. That's why you're here today. But you're not sure and you don't know what to do with it. I want to encourage you just to continue this journey with us. And I want to encourage you to just bring those doubts before him, to be able to come to God and say, God, I hear you in those moments when you're telling me that there's something more than this, but I don't know if I can trust you. And just journey with us and see how he begins to speak to you. And see if the storyteller doesn't begin to show you why he wrote you into this story. And then for others of you, you've stepped into that relationship with him, but you continue to get pulled away by this idea or this desire that you could live this unbelievable story on your own. That you could in some way, shape, or form live a story that would outshine the story that's being told around you. That it could be covered in gold and made out of platinum and all of the things that this world has to offer and this idea that you could be significant in and of yourself just continues to pull you away and to keep you from coming before God and saying, God, I just give you all of who I am. I accept that you are the one who wrote me into this. I accept that my significance is found in you and your story alone. I want to encourage you as we go into this next month, as you begin this year, we all know when we make these resolutions, they're going to last three or four weeks, right? You know that. That's why you wrote them on a sheet of paper that you're ready to throw away. And so we walk in this year, and for most of us, we make these resolutions. We're like, okay, but we keep them for a couple weeks and then they're done. I want to challenge you to something, and I'm just going to make it 4 weeks long. I want to challenge you as we walk through this series, one, to walk through this series with us, to be here every Sunday, be a part of this conversation, of this story that God's telling. And inside of that, I want to challenge you to come before God today and say to him, okay, God, for the next 4 weeks, as I begin this year, I want to give you all of who I am. I want to put it all on the table, and you just show me how you want to use me inside the story. You see, there's something happen. There's something unbelievable that happens when you do that. And this is why I just challenge you to do it for 4 weeks, because I believe that when you begin to do that, when you begin to see how God uses you and the joy and the peace and the love that comes out of that, you won't be able to go back. And it'll be one of those resolutions that you will actually keep, because you'll find the unbelievable joy that comes when you settle into your purpose in your generation. For others of you, you're living that. And today what I want to do is I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Stay strong. Stay strong. Don't let the lies pull you out of it. Keep living for His purpose. Keep living for His story. It will not disappoint you. And sometimes when you're living for His story, you look around you and you see the shine of these other people's stories and you think, man, I want to pull out of it. I want to live for that income level. I want to live for that achievement or for that accomplishment. And everything inside of you is beginning to pull you out of His story to live for your story. Stay strong. It's a lie. And what He's leading you into will not disappoint you. Our significance will never be found in the single strand of our story. Our significance, our eternal significance, will always be found as we live out God's purpose in our generation. The story that He created you for inside of His story is not an accident. I want to read this verse to you one more time. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers and his body decayed. As we go into this next year, may that be true of us. I want that to be true of me. That in 2014, I lived His purpose in my generation. I want that to be true of you. That in this year, with all that you had, you lived His purpose in your generation. Will you pray with me? Father, You've told us to expect it, and yet it still amazes me just how often we're pulled back into this idea of living for our own story. And I can't begin to imagine how foolish it must seem to You as You look down on us. And the truth is, You've given us so many things to remind us of just how small we are and how unbelievably powerful and amazing You are in this beautiful, unbelievable story that You're telling. I think back even at this past snowstorm and just the power of it and the beauty of it and just this reminder of how small we are. And yet You've told us that from the very beginning that You chose us, that You planned us, that You wrote us into this story. And then we have the opportunity to be able to live that purpose out, that we have the opportunity to be able to live our strand in this tapestry, to be able to live our part in this story in a way that's eternally significant. And so, Father, today we come before You and we just lay down our stories. We lay down the stories that maybe we've been trying to tell. The stories that we've thought would be significant. And we come before You, the unbelievable storyteller. And as we begin this journey in this conversation, we just ask You. We ask You that You would show us how we too can live Your purpose in our generation. We understand that inside of this story we have an unbelievable role, responsibility, opportunity. And so we come to You. And we look forward to being part of that story. And one day, being able to see the beauty of how it was written and how we were able to be part of it. In Jesus' name, amen.